right. Thank you so much for joining us again. I am super excited about this next series of podcasts that we're going to do. We have opened up our home in a little bit different way this time, and we've included our daughter, Justice.
Hello.
Wow. Our amazing Justice.
Our amazing Justice. And we, I've been having this idea for a while that I wanted to have an opportunity for those of you who follow us to get some interesting perspective that I get the privilege of having frequently in our house, because both of them, Johnny and Justice, are super
informed.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're super informed. No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say you both have very strong perspectives and opinions and interest in, I wouldn't say politics as much as what God is doing in the generations related to politics. And it's been a very intense time since the beginning of the whole election process, through the election, President Trump's first year, and so much going on. And some of the issues that I want to touch on may not even be like on the forefront of the political scene right now, but I feel like they're ones, they're topics that many of you would be interested in. And I love getting to listen in when the two of them are talking about some of these issues, because I find that between the two of them and their unique perspectives being different ends of the generation spectrum, that they have different perspectives, yet the same goal. But first, I was just going to tell you a little bit about Justice, or you could tell us some about yourself too if I don't say everything you want me to say. But Justice is our second oldest daughter, and I hope that in the future we'll have some of our other daughters have an opportunity to talk about some things that are important to them. But Justice is 24 almost, and
in a few days,
in a few more days. So by the time you watch this, she'll be 24, and I'm not gonna tell you how old Johnny is.
He's more than 24.
But
Justice just graduated from FIDM, which is
the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in LA,
and it's a world-renowned school. And she hopped around to a couple of different colleges and ended graduating from there. But in that process
is an interesting reason that I have these perspectives as well, because I went to Oral Roberts University straight out of high school, which is extremely conservative, and I was a government major. And so I found that my education there was extremely biased to the far right. And love the school, but you know, it happens. And then I transferred to Azusa Pacific for one semester. And that was...
Which is also a Christian college.
Yes. In the LA, I ended up changing my major at the time from government to music. And so that was a completely different crowd of people. And then dropped out of school for a while and went through Bethel, where I had friends from different countries.
Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry.
Yes. Reading, so I did California. First year. And while I was there, I had a lot of friends specifically who were British, who obviously had a very different perspective on politics than I did, because I was extremely conservative just growing up in the South and going to school in the Bible Belt. And I realized...
Being raised by a mother who started off homeschooling, not wearing makeup, just happy to cloister herself away with her daughters.
We're not allowed to watch TV or listen to music for a little while there. So we were very, very conservatively raised.
Maybe
like 10 years of my life. And then, so through my experience of my friends with very different perspectives, I realized that other intelligent people who loved God just as much as I did had very different opinions. And so God started, you know, just convicting me of maybe where I was just siding with or taking for granted my views instead of really understanding what I believed in. And so I started just like exploring all of that more and watching documentaries from left and right people and reading articles from left and right and trying to have like a more holistic perspective instead of just so biased one way or the other.
That's one of the things that I so respect about you, Justice, is you, similar to your dad, you are a researcher. And I call y'all information junkies, because you don't have downtime. You're very creative. And when you're not busy being creative, you are researching. You're constantly scouring the internet and from different sources. I think you got that from your dad in terms of learning to not just have your sources all from one side or another, but you really aren't afraid to hear lots of different perspectives and extremes in one side or another on any issue. And you love facts.
And touching on that, even with my relationship with the Lord, as I developed that into becoming more of my own when I was like 19, 20, I realized that you can't, if there's a subject that you're afraid of hearing about because you're afraid it's going to shake your beliefs, it's probably good to have those conversations. Yep. And go ahead and shake yourself, because you need to be unshakable in what you believe and what you feel like the Lord is speaking to you about your relationship with Him or your views on anything in life, but still have humility. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not willing to even hear other perspectives, you're not having humility, and you're also never going to grow. You're going to stay stagnant and old fashioned and not progress as the Lord's progressing. So
really good.
So good. So I thought the way we would kind of launch this conversation, and we're just going to have one long conversation, and then it will be edited and put into four distinct podcasts or video casts. So we hope that you'll tune in for all of them. But just to kind of get us started off on an exciting topic, one that I think Justice is especially passionate about. I got a little nervous a few years ago when she and her sister started talking about how they were feminists. And I thought, oh my goodness, we moved to California and we've ruined our daughters. And I just had such a slanted perspective of the whole subject, and just learned to be brave and take it all in and hear the different things y'all were learning about. But I loved it as you and Dad would get into discussions about the idea of feminism. So maybe you could start us off on that topic and tell us, kind of in the process of talking about it, what feminism
feminism
currently, meaning, like when we hear that word, what do most people think of? And then what is your heart regarding that? And then Johnny, just interrupt and chime in. Yeah. And if it gets too exciting here, then I'll
if it gets too heated, we'll throw in a white towel.
I'm usually like the mediator. Now, what she really meant, what he really meant, I don't think it'll get heated, but it could be exciting.
We have more exciting debates rather than just a calm conversation, but those are still good too.
And they both like to play kind of the devil's advocate on any given subject, so hopefully y'all will do that here some and challenge each other.
Not literally the devil, though.
Not literally the devil, but the advocate of the
devil.
We
like to provoke one another's perspectives challenge.
Yeah, but civilly. So yes. Here we go. Justice, tell us about the whole subject of feminism.
What does it mean to be a feminist?
I'm trying to remember the first time I actually heard this term. It was probably when I was at BSSM, actually, which is strange. And maybe I'd heard about it like some
school administration.
Yeah, in history class growing up or something, but I had no idea that it was still something that people were participating in today. And all I really knew about it was like the people burning their bras in the 60s and 70s. And I was like, okay, whatever, like I don't really have an opinion about that. And then in more recent times we've seen the modern feminist movement growing more. And so most people, when they think of feminism, are thinking of it also depends on what media you're following.
Right, exactly.
Because you could be listening to, far right or far left and have a completely different perspective. But the far right perspective about the feminist movement is usually like a bunch of crazy, like, feminazis who are, women are goddesses, who are better than men, we don't need men, and who are taking things to such an extreme that it's not palatable for every woman, and every woman doesn't feel represented by the modern feminist movement. And that's not necessarily to say that every woman couldn't be represented by it, but at least that's the way media is portraying it. And then the far left is making it look as if women who are not a part of this more extreme group are like backwards and crazy. But it's because it hasn't really, like I said, it hasn't really been palatable for every woman. So I decided a couple years ago, like,
when you say palatable, you mean like not all women can relate to one of those two extreme versions,
right,
of feminism.
And so I've seen people really become polarized of either like, I'm a feminist and I embrace all the values that the new modern feminist movement has, or I don't need feminism. No, everything's fine. There's equality already. And so both of those are being ignorant of like a whole group of people who are somewhere here in the middle.
That's good.
And yeah, and just too polarized.
And then a lot of Christians are stuck in a wrong theology regarding women that yeah. you could probably speak into at some point as well.
Well, John. I think even better first, Justice, because Justice will call herself a feminist.
Yeah.
But it's like, what does it mean to her? She's already explained yeah. there's two
divergent
camps. Well, I decided a couple years ago, I was like, I just felt like it was important for me to like say I'm a feminist. And so I was like, I need to figure out what this actually means. That's kind of how my relationship with the Lord goes, more like he'll adjust my feelings and then help me get the logic and intellect behind it. And so I was like, okay, so now I gotta like research this. And so I researched the actual definition of the word feminist, and I should have written that down, but you can help me remember. It's something to the extent of equality, for women in the, or social economic equality for women in the workplace, in
equal rights for opportunity for women yeah. in all areas of life.
It's recognizing that there is an equal value, intrinsically. Men and women have an equal value in society and in the world, and
so their time, their effort, their work should be compensated as if
right.
everything equal. Should be seen as if they're equal. And so some people take that too far and go, men and women are exactly the same, that's why they're equal. And obviously we are different, and there are some, even just the different hormones that we have that function in our body cause us to be different. And so, and some people's levels are different, so that doesn't mean that like every woman has to be this exact, you know, societal version of feminine, and every man doesn't have to be this exact societal version of masculine, mm-hmm. but there is some like some differentiation there for sure, mm-hmm. and some different tendencies that you can say are generally true. Mm-hmm. And so you have to recognize those differences, but also recognize that they're equally valuable. And so for a long time, I think our society has valued masculinity and this very extreme masculinity over femininity. And so therefore, we place a higher and higher value on men because of that. Mm-hmm. And so women who, even when they enter the workforce, I know that so many, even in the fashion industry, so many women have to become like really masculine and like
yeah.
cutthroat, like not nice. They lose a lot of these like wonderful things that women bring to the table because they have to be that way in order to succeed in the business world. And so
the man's world.
Yeah. And I think that's sad because we've placed so much importance on this like masculinity and dominating thing. And I don't remember where I was going with that. But well,
that's good. So you've kind of described your version of feminism. So when you say you're a feminist, that's what you mean.
And there are a couple like core values that I'm trying to develop for that too, because one of my best friends and I are wanting to start some sort of resource specifically for Christian women, so they can feel like they can call themselves a feminist. And I know a lot of people have just been like, well, I just don't want to call myself that because it has such a negative connotation. But I think that that's ridiculous. Like, we can reclaim that word, you know, just like sometimes it doesn't appear very good for you to call yourself a Christian because people have had very bad experiences with Christians. Right. But the core of what a Christian actually is something wonderful and awesome. It's the same as feminism. It's actually like Jesus displayed these same core values in his ministry, you know, having female friends, which was like so out of the ordinary for that time mm-hmm. in the Bible, and the fact that he like first appeared to a woman after he raised from the dead, all these things. It's nothing like outside of the Bible. These are biblical principles. And so the idea, like some of the things that are important to me in this are that women should be getting equal pay for equal work. And there's a even bigger gap between the pay for white men and then women of other races. So they're even further marginalized for the same exact work.
So not
and
okay.
yeah, so as a feminist, that's something that I want to always speak up for and defend, is not only the right for white women to be paid equal, but especially for other races, minorities, to be paid that same amount, because their work is also equally valuable. And in fact, they frequently bring other cultural ideas to the table that are even more valuable, you know?
So you're talking about creating a movement or giving a context to a movement that's already began that really is another nuanced expression of the kingdom coming to earth. It's God's heart that these things be addressed. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we'll make sure that we either include in the comments or at the end of the last of these four-part series a way for people to contact you or follow you on social media. Yeah. So that when you do launch that Facebook page, these women can know how to become a yeah. part of what you're talking about and become a part of the conversation of how to redefine feminism as a
positive.
I love that, especially at my age. I'm so grateful to have daughters that have been willing to not let go of the roots that they've been given and mm-hmm. the foundation that's been laid. I'll just speak specifically about you, and that you are willing to still continue to challenge and provoke your own thinking, which then takes me with you. And I think that's what some of this conversation is about, is helping us all connect with the next generation's perspective while still building on the foundation of what we've laid. So what you want to speak into that whole feminism issue?
First of all, great job, Justice, of sharing on it. I think one of the reasons Justice has such a good way of thinking and processing as well, she grew up under Seven Mountain thinking, processing, so she doesn't have this us versus them perspective. It's all...
Speaking of like the world and
it's
Christians.
We, all of us together.
And she's right, it's insightful too, just how there's different words that, you know, they set people off. Just like Christians, I don't want to be a Christian because there's so many bad ones, and so we have a lot of people overreact to the term feminist as well because they associate it with some extreme version of it, so nobody wants to be anything else. But it really, there's not really a better term, women's rights or whatever, and I don't think that's a better term. But we have to, I will bring into the discussion the fact that the church's role has been harmful. Mm-hmm. With the teachings and doctrines we have brought in, it's one of the reasons why it's so hard. We're once again last to the party, late to the table.
Yeah.
Just like we were in other, we can say, civil rights issues, slavery issues, we were late in those. And we use scripture, and we use justice, like she started asking questions a couple of days ago about Paul's writings versus Jesus' writing, you know, Paulinology versus Christology, and how they come across differently. And you know, Paul covered all kinds of things and spoke into all kinds of matters that either Jesus didn't or he modeled something totally different. So we find this reality, again, the pink elephant in the room is Paul has a scripture, let a woman keep silent in the church. I do not permit her to teach above.
I don't like that one.
Well, and it's for one reason, it's not shared in the proper context.
Yeah, exactly.
He's actually speaking into, we don't even have time for that today, most likely, but into both cultural realities and dynamics of that day, where he wasn't trying to establish that they weren't allowed to. What's come out of that for the church is, yeah, they can't, a woman can't.
He wasn't establishing theology with this. He was addressing specific situations. Specifics.
Yeah, because he's the guy that said, furthermore, he would talk about those who helped him even ministering, and there would be Priscilla and Aquila, and he would name her first, and whenever you did that, that meant they both, he would refer to them as those who helped him ministerially, meaning they're speaking, and she was the one that was preeminent. Her name was mentioned first. And then there is a referring to Junia, who's one of the apostles, mm-hmm. And she was clearly female as well. So what, you could be an apostle as long as you did it in sign language or something like that. And so it wasn't that. So there's the ridiculousness of not processing scripture we try to keep bringing that up to today.
And Paul also spoke about, you know, treating your slaves well. But we all know that that's not acceptable to have slaves. But they did have slaves back then. There wasn't equality for women back then. So the gospel had to function in a different... less of the kingdom was manifest in that generation than it is now.
Yeah, well, I'm real practical since you went that far in it. It's just they had a reality in the church settings, the synagogue settings. First of all, women were not given equal access to education. And so they were uneducated because of the pre-existing discrimination that happens there. And so they're not, the church setup, the typical synagogue setup, is when there's a discussion, there's a teacher, there's a rabbi, and the men are there, and it's interactive, and they're going live. The women weren't even allowed to be up there. There's a rope cordoned off in the back corner, and they're there, and they're making their observations, and they're talking, and they have, they could get loud on their own. So they're speaking into a dynamic of keep silent, ask your husband afterwards, like, what's the conversation going on? But it's addressing the issues of the fact that they're not even in education-wise able to compete or interact with the husbands at that level. And so he's speaking to an entirely different dynamic. He's the same God, the Apostle Paul, that says in Christ there's neither male nor female. And if you go into that, he's establishing they both can function under the same anointing and leadership, and that was the example is there. And so if we could just, it's the pink elephant in the room, because for the body of Christ to embrace feminism, they're like, oh, we're having to pretend the Bible doesn't say. No, you don't have to pretend the Bible doesn't say. You just have to properly understand it, integrate it to today. And then, you know, it is such a positive. I mean, I'm jumping ahead now, but we're obviously this past year, 2017, an amazing year for, we'll say, another level of respecting women's rights, the whole Harvey Weinstein effect,
the
sexual harassment, draw a line in the sand. We can't, the Me Too movement. And so there's clearly something of restoring value of women, their voice, that is so kingdom and so God, that if we throw it out, I'm speaking now for the body of Christ, if we throw it out because it comes in a terminology we don't like of feminism, or we're saying, well, they're supposed to be keep quiet in church, and we don't understand the dynamic for it, then we're going to be resisting something God is doing in society. He clearly wants women's voices to be able to be at the equal level as men, their leadership, their voices, their every level of participation in society. And so that's why there's not a it could have been implied that we would have we're not going to have a heated discussion against each other on this one, because we might have different, we come in, Justice, you see where she came in from right here, I'm coming in from right here, but we both are in total agreement. I'm like, I don't know, I think she might have asked me the other day, Dad, you consider yourself, if it wasn't you, it was one of your sisters, do you consider yourself a feminist? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't thought it through
that yet. I consider you that, because even if you wouldn't call yourself that, just based off of your beliefs and your actions and the way that you raised us, I would definitely say that you are. And something else I was going to say about the whole like Me Too movement and everything. A lot of men I have seen posting things on social media, like conservative men, posting things, joking about like they feel super uncomfortable around women now because they're afraid that everyone's going to accuse them of sexual harassment. And to me, I just don't think that's very appropriate.
No, as if it's normal to be pinching their rear ends or whatever else. Like, that's, there shouldn't be a danger, really, if you're a normal human being.
Yeah, it's jokes about, like, they don't, they're
don't
joking,
understand
like,
boundaries at all.
Yeah, they're saying, like, oh, I don't want to hug a woman anymore because she might feel uncomfortable. And that's just ridiculous. And some people do take it too far, but the percentage of people who are going to make stuff up like that is so minimal. And on top of that, I think that we have to be okay with the whole adjustment not happening perfectly. I think that like some people are like, okay, I'm okay with women's rights happening as long as it happens perfectly and nobody takes any step outside or goes too far at all. And that's just like not the way to have progress
at all.
Good
observation,
Sometimes you're gonna accidentally go a little too far. And so I think there has to be...
When you say go too far, you mean men go too far or women go too
no,
far?
No,
the overcorrection.
Overcorrection, going a little too progressive should we say,
to use,
I would rather see that happening and see there being a grace for that than to see women progressing at such a slow speed because we're so concerned about doing this perfectly and saying the right thing and presenting ourselves, because that's still the same thing we've been dealing with for hundreds of years, is having to like over present our case because we've got to convince men of this. And that's, I don't want to say, you know, like all men are like this. I'm not trying to demonize everyone,
like.
But that's what it can feel like as a woman. It's like, I've got to like explain this so perfectly and carefully and present it exactly the right way so that men will believe me, because men cannot understand what it is like to be a woman. They cannot understand it. Just like different races cannot understand what it is like to be another race, and we cannot understand that oppression. There has to be some level of humility from the other gender and willingness to accept someone else's experience. Just because you don't see it that way or you didn't intend for it to be that way doesn't mean that it's not affecting a woman in that way.
Right. It's well said.
And even on a practical level with all of this, I think some things that have to stop are these little jokes that I hear people making like on social media, but also, you know, that's just how women are. Like, and putting this expectation in this box around like, this is how I see women and it's never going to change and this is just how you are. And I see it mostly used as a way for people to let off frustration towards their spouse or their girlfriend or a sibling or something. And I think that it's doing a lot of harm because it's subliminally
relegating.
Yeah, it's
and
putting a woman in her place, so to speak. And in turn, women, we also have to make sure that we are being honoring in the process, but there's a way to be assertive with what's needing to take place and being progressive as far as moving this forward, not politically progressive, but progressing the movement while being honoring and respectful. And that doesn't mean to like crawl at men's feet and kiss them and be like, please help us. It's just saying things in a way that's honoring and not, you know, cussing them out and be like, well, men are just this way, because if we don't want to be spoken about that way, we can't do that in return.